Thank you so much. This month, our mystic and our master is Francis of Assisi, St. Francis. You may have one of him in your garden. Anybody? Anyone? Yes? A few of you. He is lover of animals and birds. Maybe you think of him as a precursor to the hippies. Not such a bad thing. Maybe you think of his prayer, which belongs to the ages, belongs to all of us. He's more complicated than that, of course. And I want to introduce you to him today. This Sunday, next Sunday, I want to talk about how he is a role model, even now in 21st century America, a role model for all of us who are on a spiritual journey. Specifically, I'm going to talk about two encounters he had that shaped his life. The first encounter, today's theme, was with lepers and how he began to see them as fully human. The second encounter, which we'll talk about next week, is the idea of him in Egypt meeting the Sultan. Today's topic, when he meets the leper, he overcomes his fear, he overcomes his repulsion, he sees them as fully human, fully worthy of dignity and respect, instruments of God's love, teachers of grace as much as anyone else. We'll explore today the question of what happens when you see all people as the image of the divine. Have you ever seen, like maybe you picked it up off a parking lot floor or something, an old coin, a really old coin where the image on the front of the coin is defaced, it's hard to make out, it's worn down. Time has diminished the image. The beauty of the idea that all are made in God's image is that everyone, no matter what, is worthy of your deepest respect. To encounter another is to encounter Christ or Buddha or Muhammad or Gandhi, the goddess, whomever you wish to lift up as especially deserving of respect and dignity. But sometimes, like that old coin, the image of God gets diminished. It gets worn out. Well, that person's on crack. That person's a meth head. Keeps coming around bugging me. That person has AIDS. Remember a long time ago? That was like the real scary thing, right? Remember the AIDS epidemic? Those people are scary. That was a big one. This person's a threat. That person's on death row. That person's Muslim, Christian, Jewish. That person's black, brown, white, scary. They're the other. We all have our biases. We all look upon them sometimes with our prejudice or our bias, somebody. Instead of seeing them as the beloved of God, as the Christ or the Buddha or Muhammad, we all do it. And Francis, we'll see. Francis hated lepers. Man, he hated lepers. So scared of lepers. Until he didn't hate them anymore. Until he wasn't afraid of them anymore because of the encounter with one. So that's today's theme. Next Sunday, we're going to follow Francis into the land of Egypt, where he comes upon another version of the other, a sultan, a Muslim, at a time of war and conflict, and see there also the image of God. But that's next week. Today we're on Francis and the leper. Since this is our first Sunday with Francis, let me just say a quick word about him. He lived from 1182 until October 3rd, 1226, and his feast day is October 4th. So if you go by Episcopalian church or Catholic churches, sometimes you'll see like dogs and horses waiting to get blessed on St. Francis Day. That's the feast day October 4th. His dad was a silk merchant. Well-to-do, successful. In 1202, while still a young man, Francis had a little bit of like he was a knight wannabe. He wanted to be a knight. He wanted to fight. So while still a young man, he joined a military expedition. But the ravages of war, the reality of war, shocked him. He was captured, and he was kept in captivity for a whole year. Because of his wealth, he was kept in captivity. The captors hoped that his father would pay them a ransom to free him. Didn't happen. But also because of his wealth and his youth, as a young adult, he was a man about town. One scholar called him a bon vivant, which I've never said until the 9 o'clock service, and now I said it twice, so that's really fun. He enjoyed the high life, right? He had friends, they partied, they had a good time together. During one of his war escapades, he had a vision, and it caused him to return home, and he came back a changed man. During this time, he began his spiritual journey, which was grounded in the idea of following Christ and the gospel as well as he could, hanging out with the poor, putting off his own privilege and becoming poor, and loving all of creation. Here's how it happened. One day he heard God speaking to him. All the things you think are going to give you happiness, they're empty vessels. They lead nowhere. The things you despise, the things you find bitter, the things that make you shudder, these are the things that in the end will bring you lasting peace and purpose and meaning. That's a paraphrase. Another paraphrase that might resonate with your ears sounds like this. Your false self, your ego, all those things that tie you up in being busy and seeming important and striving for riches and power, not going to get you where you want to go. Your true self, God said to Francis, find it. Your true self, which is love and compassion, act out of that place. That's the modern version of the Francis Call story. That's for us. For Francis, God shared this message, this intriguing idea. What you find bitter, what you find horrifying, and that is your salvation. And that is your salvation. Here's what he heard God say. Oh, Francis, if you want to know my will, you must hate and despise all that which heretofore your body has loved and desired to possess. Once you begin to do this, all that formerly seemed sweet and pleasant to you will become bitter and unbearable, and instead the things that formerly made you shudder will bring you great sweetness and contentment. So one day, and this is the encounter, one day, out in the countryside, let's say like Cripple Creek. I don't know, pick whatever place you want. Trying to figure out his life, trying to puzzle it all together. He's on his horse and he's trying to think, what is God calling me to be? What is God calling me to do? And he hears a ringing bell. Anybody know what the ringing bell is? No, that's the modern day version of the call. A leper ringing the bell, warning those around them. Leper is in your sight. Francis had always had an overwhelming dislike, horror of lepers. Here is how Francis described it in his writings. I began doing penance in this way, for when I was in sin, it seemed too bitter to me to see lepers. And the Lord led me among them, and I showed mercy to them. And when I left them, what had seemed bitter to me was turned into sweetness of soul and body. And afterwards, I delay a little and left the world. He got off his horse. He went over. He embraced the leper. He gave the leper an alm. And the leper kissed his hand, and his life was changed forever. For Francis saw soon that embracing the leper and greeting him with the kiss of peace, that in fact he had embraced and encountered his very Lord Jesus. First bit of lesson this morning. Before we get to the lepers out there, maybe there's a part of you hidden in shame that you wish to hide from the world. Francis calls us to confront our fears and go to that place in your own spirit. Embrace that place. Get off your horse and go over and give it a hug. Maybe it's the part of you that feels inadequate, feels out of control, feels chaotic, awkward, goofy, whatever it is. Get off your horse. Walk towards that part of you, embrace it, and see too that that part of you is beloved of God. Hey, let's hang out together. Let's have some tea. Let's talk. Second bit of lesson. What did Francis do here? Prior to this encounter, he considered the leper beneath him, subhuman, horrifying, scary, someone who was defined by their illness, their category, their label. Upon meeting him, he sees them in their full humanity. And not just that, but as the beloved of God, as Christ himself. How can you see the next person and the next person and the next person as the Christ? But not just the next person you like, not just the next person who looks like you or acts like you or talks like you, but all of them. How can you see each one as beloved of God? On Friday, Francis came to me. I was sitting in our coffee bar at the hospital. I'm a hospital chaplain. And this fellow came to me who was homeless, living in his truck. And the more we talked, the more agitated he got. And Francis just said to me, "This is Jesus, the Christ of God." And I slowed down and I listened to the hurt and the pain of this person. I didn't hear the yelling. I didn't hear the paranoia. I listened to the hurt and I saw God. And later, in the day, on Friday, I was with a family. They're from another culture. They're part of another religious tradition. And they're making decisions about their loved one that I'm like, is this for real? I mean, is this really happening? In my spirit, in my head, I'm thinking, this cannot be real. I would not be making these decisions about my loved one. They were confusing me. I was becoming exasperated inside, not outside. Francis came to me and said, "Look at this mother. Look at this father. Behold the face of God." All right. Third bit of lesson. The leper, without question, is at the absolute margins of society. They're without power, without privilege, without status, without proper documentation, without the right language. They're completely in the shadows. Now, Francis was called to be with them. And the Franciscans, which Francis obviously founded, they became known as the ones who cared for the lepers. The call, answer the call, baby. The call put him right in the midst of the margins. And we will see this even more next week, but he calls on the powerful to pursue peace, to put down their rifles and their guns, and to embrace the ones without power on the margins. Hear me now. Hear me. Francis is Oscar Romero. Francis is Oscar Romero begging the soldiers to put down their guns. He is Dan Berrigan and John Deere walking into the military site and attempting with their hands to dismantle the bombs. He is Thich Nhat Hanh telling the Americans to stop bombing Vietnam and to pursue peace. But that's next week's lesson. I get ahead of myself. He is not here to tell you to love the birds. I know all of you, except for a few of you. I know you. I know you already love the birds. I know it. He's here to tell you to pursue peace and to sit with those who are homeless, to listen to them, to sit with the undocumented, to listen to them, to hold their hands. He's here to say, stand with the powerless, the marginalized, the disenfranchised. He's Cheney, Goodman, and Schwerner registering black folks in Mississippi and getting shot. In what way does the gospel of your life, whatever it looks like, whatever the sacred texts are, include being called to the margins to work for the powerless and the hated? In what way does your call ask you to increase your love and compassion? It's your call. I know some of you help our neighbors in need at Westside Cares, and others sit with the dying in medical clinics. I know some of you march to bear witness to human rights. It's your call. You get to decide where that is leading you. The fourth bit of lesson. Francis bears witness. As far as I know, he doesn't jump in the center of the village square and say that it's wrong that the lepers are separated from the non-lepers in that Italian society. He simply models what is important to him. He follows Jesus to that leper and he does his thing. He asks no one else to sacrifice their life as he did to be among them. But in bearing witness to their humanity, others followed. As you are bearing witness to your deepest values, where would people be led? What does Francis do? He recognizes their humanity. He saw that at the end of the day, they are in fact lepers. But they're more than that. He didn't ignore their identity, but he transcended it. And at the end of the day, he said to them, "You are a beloved child of God. You are Christ to me. You are fully human, though others say you are outside of humanity. I say you are a crucial part of the human family." Right now, in this country, lots of folks are being dehumanized. Lots of folks. Muslims. Migrants. Jews being shot in their temple. And Francis just says, look at our common humanity. I want to be very clear. Francis would not be saying, kill those migrants if they throw rocks at you. He'd be marching with the migrants. He put on poverty willfully to follow his Jesus. He'd be doing what others are doing at the border, putting water out for folks. You are me and I am you, simple as that. So what happens? Sometime after this encounter, which changed his life, he continues to pray, he continues to contemplate, he continues to meditate, and he hears God say, clean up my house. Now, he thought it meant the little parish that he was praying in, but it meant the whole church. As soon as he took that first step towards that leper, and in that encounter becomes transformed and renewed, the next great call comes to him. Clean up my house. You got to take that first step. You got to get off that horse first. And then the rest of it comes into focus. When you cross that bridge and follow your call, when you encounter the other, you're going to encounter folks who are different than you that will annoy you as I was annoyed on Friday, right? that others call dirty and outside of humanity, a polite society. But Francis discovered it will lead you to the call of your life, your life's purpose. He founded a whole religious order. He changed the church and the world. He endures. But your call and your encounter, it might lead you to the hospital to be with the sick and the dying, as it has with me. Or it may lead you to be somebody's mother or father, our partner, our spouse, to be their advocate or their helper. It may lead you to places you haven't even dreamed yet. If you keep your ears open and your eyes open for the call of the God who loves all of humanity and bids us put off our false self and live our lives out of our true selves, which is to say love and compassion, we will go on a spiritual journey that we'd never imagine, encounter things we never dream of, and in the process be transformed and renewed and led to the great purpose of each of our lives. No matter how big, no matter how small, no matter if no one else in the whole world knows about it. Where we bear witness to our common humanity, to our common unity. That's Francis. That's Francis. He's not here to tell you to love the squirrels only. He's here to usher in the possibility of a brand new you, a peacemaker, simple, poor, and connected.